welcome to the Church of the Redeemer's Weekly Podcast. We pray that you will enjoy this week's sermon, and we hope that you will follow us at www.cotrb.org, and may God continue to bless you.
The Lord is ministering to the preacher already. I've been sitting there wondering what's going to happen. And the Lord just answered my prayer that he's my strength. Strength like no other. Woo. Reach in. Yeah. Yes, Lord. Giving glory to God the Father, my Creator. Giving glory to God the Son, my Redeemer. Giving glory to God the Holy Spirit, my Sustainer. I say good morning, Redeemer. Amen. We do honor the spirit of worship and praise that is in this place. I thank our God that he is alive and he's doing well. I'd like to thank our music ministry. I know you've looked over and you see a different person. Amen. We'd like to thank Sister Jay. Yeah, we know she comes from good stuff. Yeah, that's Minister Tamika's daughter, if you don't know. Amen. Yeah. Minister Rye on the drums. Yeah. And we got an awesome praise and worship team. Yeah, yeah. My. This young man has sung from the depth of his soul. He even touched my soul. It was a point, I don't know if you noticed, but a tear ran down the side. And the tear ran down my side. My. I'd like to continue with our summer series, spending the summer with the psalmist. And if you would turn with me to Psalm 103. Psalm 103. And as customary, if you would keep your Bible open, for it's the Bible that does the preaching. I'm only the vessel that God uses. Amen. I still hear some pages. Psalm 103. And I'll be reading beginning at verse 1 to verse 5. My translation is the New Revised Standard Version. Your translation should have words that are very, very similar. Now, in my Bible, I have a heading, and I'm sure you should have a heading in your Bible. And my heading says, Thanksgiving for God's goodness. Your heading should be something similar. It's amazing how God already starts to preach to you before he gets to the word. And this particular psalm gives you a little hint of who wrote it. And it says a psalm of David. Amen. It's a coincidence we have the same name. Yeah, I don't know how that happened. Yeah. Sometimes it seems like I'm talking to myself. Yeah. All right. At verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And do not forget all of his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good as long as you live, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. For the next 20 minutes or so, tell you the truth, I'm not really watching my watch. But as long as the Spirit leads, I want to talk from the thought, from the topic, or from the theme. Count your blessings. Amen. Count your blessings. Amen. The Reverend Johnson Oakman Jr. was one of the most important and prolific gospel writers of the late 19th and early 20th century. It is recorded that Reverend Johnson Oakman Jr. wrote over 5,000 hymns. Now, we may not be familiar with his name, but we are familiar with some of his hymns. Hymns such as No, Not One, Higher Ground, and Last Mile of the Way. The hymn, No, Not One, is a Christ-centric hymn. It's one that concentrates on the qualities of Jesus Christ as the Christian's constant companion.
Yeah.
For the chorus of the hymn reminds us that he will guide us till the day is done. Tell your neighbor, he's preaching already.
Yeah.
The hymn begins to assure us that there's not a friend like a lowly Jesus. No, not one. Verse 3 goes on to remind us of the Lord's promise never to leave us. They say there's not an hour that he is not near us. No, not one. Then there's the hymn, Higher Ground. This hymn, Higher Ground, it expresses a heartfelt desire to have a stronger relationship and a stronger experience with God. For after each verse is sung, it has this beautiful chorus. Lord, lift me up. Let me stand. By faith on heaven's table land. A higher plane that I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Make some noise if you want to go higher this morning in the Lord. I must admit publicly that I was surprised to learn that Johnson wrote the hymn, The Last Mile of the Way. You might have been like me. That's Sam Cooke's hit. Come to find out Sam sung it. Johnson wrote it. Amen. Y'all know the words. If I walk in the pathway of duty, if I work to the close of the day, I shall see the great King in his beauty when I have gone the last mile of the way. This hymn was published a year before Johnson's wife went home to be with the Lord. Many believe he wrote it to express what she was going through. But this morning, I want to call your attention to Johnson's most well-known hymn. It's the hymn known as Count Your Blessings. For this hymn opens with this lyrics. It says, when life's billows, you are tempted and tossed, when you are discouraged and thinking that all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. This opening verse of the hymn, it paints a picture of a ship that is in the sea and is experiencing a storm. And it says, when upon life's billows, you are tempted and tossed, when you are discouraged and you think all is lost. This verse lets us know that for the storms and the situations of life, it can sometimes be so hard that it will cause us to forget about the blessings of God. You see, we battle with an enemy that wants us to focus on what's going wrong in our life.
and not focus on what's going right in our life. We deal with an enemy that wants us to focus on what we don't have instead of focusing on what we do have. He wants us to feel like we are all alone and nobody cares. He wants us to forget the blessings of God in our life. So like Johnson Oakman encourages us during the dark and difficult days, during the most painful and piercing moments, during the suffering and the sadness, not to forget. These are the times where we need to count our blessings. Here we are in our text this morning. In our text, David is counting his blessings. You know David. He's a man after God's own heart. David is a man like many of us, whose life is filled with ups and is filled with downs.
That's right.
But let me draw your attention to verse number 2. In verse number 2, David warns us about forgetting the blessings of God. David says in verse 2, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget all his benefits." Yes. That brings me to my first point. Remember, we serve a God who wants us to remember. For that is what Holy Communion and the Passover is all about. For Holy Communion in your Bible, it says, "Do this in remembrance of me." For the Passover is all about God telling Israel, "I want you to remember how I brought you out." Do you remember how he made a way out of no way? Do you remember how he brought you out? Do you remember when you were ready to throw in the towel? And it was only because of his grace that you're still standing. Is there anybody here who knows if it had not been for the Lord who was on my side? Gotta remember. Research says we have 3 times more positive experiences than negative. But however, the burdens of life that we all have to deal with often force us to only remember and dwell on our problems, rather than focusing on things that are going wrong. That's when we should begin to count our blessings. We got to begin remembering we serve a God that is able. See, when we focus on what's going wrong, we magnify the problem. We make the problem bigger than it really is. But David in Psalm 34 lets us know to magnify the Lord. In other words, make God bigger and let us exalt his name together. My second point is reflection. You see, remembering will lead to reflection. And I hope you ain't closed your Bible. So here we are in verses 3-5. And here is where David begins to start counting his blessings. In verse 3, he says, "Who forgives all your iniquity? Who heals all your diseases?" Now, on the surface, it looks like there's 2 blessings in verse number 3. It's the forgiving and the healing. But through studying in the original Hebrew language, there's really only 1 thing is forgiveness. You see, this verse describes sin as a disease. So God is forgiving the disease of sin. Yeah. Now, notice, if you will, the first blessing that David counts is forgiveness. Yeah. The text is telling to teach us that everything begins with forgiveness. For forgiveness is our foundation. You see, when you have Jesus, you have forgiveness. For we're forgiven through his blood. Yeah. The good news is that because we are prone to mess up, I'm talking to the imperfect folk. Even after salvation, I still need God's forgiveness. Yeah. What I love about the verse, it says he forgives all my sins. Yeah. That's my past, my present, and my future sins. I thank God for forgiving my sins. I'm grateful he's forgiven me. You see, because if you haven't experienced God's forgiveness, there's two cousins that will rob you of all of the freedom you could have. They're called shame and they're called guilt. And they got another cousin not far away called remorse. So when God has forgiven me, I'm now free to worship him. I'm free to lift his name. Thank God for his forgiveness. Tell your neighbor, I'm forgiven. I'm forgiven. Let me keep it moving. Verse 4. David continues to count his blessings. Verse 4, he says, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy. Ah, don't miss your shout. Amen. Verse 4 has two more aspects of salvation. It's redemption and deliverance. You see, by redeeming my life from the pit, David is saying, not only has the Lord forgiven me and healed me from my sin, but God has made my salvation complete by redeeming me from spiritual death. You see, redemption means to be brought with a price. And what David is doing is he's giving glory to our great substitute, the one who paid the price on a rugged cross at Calvary. Not only are we redeemed, but we are delivered from the pit. Now, I don't know what your translation says, but my translation, pit has a capital P. I don't know what yours has, but mine has a capital P, which means that there is an emphasis or a double emphasis on the word pit. Pit, translated in Hebrew, means death, which means that there's an emphasis that Jesus has delivered us from the penalty of death, which is the penalty of sin. Yes, not only has he redeemed me, but he's redeemed me from destruction. I don't know about you, but I ain't supposed to be standing here this morning. Yeah. I don't know about you, but he has saved me from death. He has saved me from destruction. Yes. Let me hear it. After acknowledging salvation, David lets us know in verse 5 that he's satisfied. Right there in the text. Right there in the text. Text says, who satisfies you with good as long as you live, so that your youth
is renewed like the eagle. Yeah. If you are not satisfied in this life,
preach.
It's you and it's not God. See, as believers, only God himself is the one that who can satisfy us.
Preach!
For it's God that satisfies the soul of man.
Preach!
The innermost space that we try to fill with the things of the world. For it is God that blesses us with good things, not the vain toys or the idle pleasures. So you're probably wondering or asking, why should I count my blessings? Yeah, y'all ask some good questions. You see, when I count my blessings, it first causes me to remember, and when I'm remembering, it causes me to reflect. And while I'm reflecting on how good God has been, it brings me to my third point, which is it leads me to a reaction. You see, when I think about the goodness of the Lord and all he's done for me, my soul says, hallelujah, thank God for saving me. You see, I can't help but bless his name. David says in verse 1, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. Tell your neighbor, I don't know what you come to do, but I come to bless his holy name. I came to lift him up. I came to give God my best praise. The text says, all that's within me, all that's within me. In the Hebrew, that means my inside, my innermost parts. What I'm trying to say is, everything in my body will bless the Lord, not just my tongue, but everything. For my heart will bless the Lord. My spirit will bless the Lord. My will will bless the Lord. My affections will bless the Lord. My understanding will bless the Lord. My memory will bless the Lord. My desire will bless the Lord. My strength will bless the Lord. My thoughts will bless the Lord. My hope will bless the Lord. All that's within me will bless his name. When I count my blessings, I can't help but bless his name. Bless his name, oh my soul. For the Lord is blessing us right now. For the Lord, he just keeps on blessing us. The Lord has done great things. So I will bless the Lord, oh my soul. Amen. Amen. Everyday, everybody can stand. Amen. Through the everyday trials of life, we will often focus on situations instead of focusing on the Savior. So we count our blessings and we name them one by one. And it will cause us to praise and bless his holy name. You see, because something happens when we begin to worship and praise God.
Glory.
For the Bible says that God inhabits the praises of his people, which means that when God inhabits our praise, that we can feel the presence of God. And if God doesn't change my situation by counting my blessings, God will change my perception. As the deacons come and we open up the doors of the church, our first call today is for the person that does not know Jesus as the pardon of their sins and is looking for salvation. We offer you Jesus Christ. Is there one among us that does not know him and would like to establish a relationship with the one who died for us, the one who gave his life so that we may have life? Will you come?